Thank you again for joining us in this final installment of Holy Angels and the Plan of Redemption. Now, as you hopefully would have known, the notes are available at revelationwithdaniel.com. The link is in the description below, and you will be blessed by going through this study, finding more for yourself what the Bible says about the ministration of the angels. Angels are constantly communicating with us. We can see that by the manuscript 121 in 1902. Constantly, the heavenly agencies are communicating with men and women on the earth. We cannot see personally the angels of God round about us. Nevertheless, they are with us, guiding and directing. We are to be so fully under the influence of the Spirit of God that we shall be susceptible to His leadings. So in the context here, what we're reading about is being led by the Spirit of God through the ministration of God's angels. Acts 16, verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Now I know that being able to see in Revelation chapter 19 and 22 that the angels have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. Angels refer to themselves as prophets. I believe that this vision was given to Paul as a result of an angel being sent by God. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, "Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication or prayer, the commandment came forth to him as an angel, and I am come to show you. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." So what's important about this is that the angel had been commanded by God to show Daniel something, and now the angel was there to instruct him about what God had commanded him to know. Again, we're going to go through Revelation 19 and chapter 22. So 19 verse 10 says, "I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the brethren that have something, that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, which the angel claims to have, is the spirit of prophecy." So the angels have the spirit of prophecy. The angels have the testimony of Jesus. A similar situation in Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9, goes on like this. "I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." So here, the angel, instead of saying, "I am of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy," he is saying, "I am of thy brethren, the prophets." And so the angel is making a clear connection between the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, and the gift of the prophets. And so I think that is just amazing. So now, angels of God make impressions upon the mind. Everything in that line should be understood just as it is, and it will depend on how the subject is handled. When they handle it under the influence of the Spirit of God, the angels of God will make the impression. So it doesn't say that the Spirit of God makes the impression, it says the angels of God make the impression. But remember, the word angel can also be synonymous with spirit, in that the angels are spirits. Now, Psalm 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." So not only is it delivering them, according to this verse, but we've learned that it goes on beyond that. It's educating them. It's instructing and guiding them. So the softening influence of the Holy Spirit is ministered by the angels. Notice, "I was talking to a congregation and telling them that parents and children need the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God, and then angels will be round about them. The glory of the Lord will go before them. We want, not to provoke, but by pleasant words to try to induce a change of attitudes, so the fanatical spirit will be forgotten." So we don't want the fanatical spirit, we want the Holy Spirit ministered by the angels. Matthew 18 verse 10 says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." The angels are constantly ministering, showing us what it is that we can and cannot do, referring us to the scripture by the influence and by their speaking to us and by their making impressions upon the heart. The angelic agencies are messengers from heaven, actually ascending and descending, keeping earth in constant connection with the heaven above. These angel messengers are observing all our course of action. They are ready to help all in their weakness, guarding all from two things, moral and physical danger, according to the providence of God. And whenever souls yield to the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God under these angel ministrations, there is joy in heaven, and the Lord Himself rejoices with singing. So God is making clear here through His messenger that the angels will bring the influence of the Spirit of God. I love that idea. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." So understanding a little bit more about the eyes of the Lord going all over the earth, let's read Zechariah 4 again. "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth." And if you read the context, you'll remember, as we've read before, he asked the question, what are these things that run to and fro? What are these olive trees and the branches? Later in chapter 4, verse 14, "Then the angel said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." So the Spirit of God directs the battle here on earth. The Spirit of God is the mind of the Father, as we had said before. So the words are spirit, the words are truth or life. And so if the words are spirit, the words came first from the mind of God. And so the mind of God is written on paper, and we can learn what He wants us to know by reading His word. So ultimately, the mind and the word are connected. We can know what God thinks by reading His words. We can know what His spirit is saying or feeling about a certain situation by reading His word. And so the spirit directs the angels while they're here on the earth. The mind of God directs the angels. Notice what it says. "Their warfare is not to be waged against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places," according to Ephesians 6, verse 12, the Revised Version. "They are to contend with supernatural forces, but they are assured of supernatural help. All the intelligences of heaven are in this army, and more than angels are in the ranks. The Holy Spirit, the representative of the captain of the Lord's host, comes down to direct the battle. Our infirmities may be many, our sins and mistakes grievous, but the grace of God is for all who seek it with contrition. The power of omnipotence is enlisted in behalf of those who trust in God." So these angels will actually enable us to have access to omnipotent power enlisted on our behalf when we trust God. How is that done? It is through the ministration of the angels directed by the mind of God or the Spirit of God. Zechariah 1:14, which is a few chapters from whence we had read earlier. "So the angel that communed with me said to me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy." So here the angel is whom was speaking, saying that God is zealous or jealous for His people. So angels have been communicating to men that God loves His people, and there's a warfare going on. It's a spiritual war. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and rulers in high places, and the highest place that rules the host of the Lord is God upon his throne. I am so grateful to be part of his army. Angels of God will work with and through and by those who will cooperate with the heavenly agencies for the salvation of a soul from death, the hiding of a multitude of sins that will lead them to consider themselves, lest they also be tempted. From First Selected Messages 97.3. So remember, from a previous reference, we talked about Psalm 104, verse 4. God makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. And that's what was happening, is God was trying to save souls from death, from destruction, during the time where the Holy Spirit came down in the day of Pentecost. There's much more to say about this, but we'll read a few things here. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 says, "There appeared unto them," which were the disciples on the day of Pentecost, "cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Well, so the Bible had just said in Psalm 104 that the angels are like ministers, flames of fire. And so we have flames of fire, or tongues of fire, on the heads of the disciples. Could the angels have had something to do with what was going on during the day of Pentecost? I say yes. Here's why. The 10th manuscript, page 112, and the second paragraph. All heaven is interested in your salvation, and angels of God are waiting to do for you what they did for the early disciples on the day of Pentecost. Psalm 18, verse 10 says, "He," that's the Father, "rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind." Psalm 104, verse 3, "God lays the beams of his chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind." And then finally, Psalm 68, verse 17, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place." So the Bible describes God riding upon the cherubs. The cherubs are like the wings of the wind. The chariots are like the wings of the wind. And the Bible says the chariots are the angels. And so we have these wind references in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where the sound of a rushing mighty wind came in to those that were gathered together and were receiving of the early rain, which is the falling of the Holy Spirit. We also know that they were given tongues of fire on their head. So tongues of fire on their head were like the flaming fire of the angels. So I believe that angels had a great opportunity to bless those that were in that upper room because Christ had just been glorified. You can read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, that there is a lamb having just been slain with seven eyes and seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God the Father sent forth into all the earth. And those angels, or those spirits, were sent by Christ to be sent into the world to do ministry, revealed as flames of fire and the sound of a rushing mighty wind. They were ministering the Spirit of God to his chosen people. Now, angels work in harmony and they work orderly. Angels work harmoniously. Perfect order characterizes all their movements. The more closely we imitate the harmony and order of the angelic host, the more successful will be the efforts of these heavenly agents in our behalf. If we see no necessity for harmonious action and are disorderly, undisciplined, and disorganized in our course of action, angels who are thoroughly organized and move in perfect order cannot work for us successfully. They turn away in grief, for they are not authorized to bless confusion, distraction, and disorganization. All who desire the cooperation of the heavenly messengers must work in unison with them. Those who have the unction from on high will in all their efforts encourage order, discipline, and union of action. And then the angels of God can cooperate with them. But never, never will heavenly messengers place their endorsement upon irregularity, disorganization, and disorder. All these evils are the result of Satan's efforts to weaken our forces, to destroy our courage, and prevent successful action. Satan well knows that success can only attend order and harmonious action. He well knows that everything connected with heaven is in perfect order, that subjection and perfect discipline mark the movements of the angelic host. It is his studied effort to lead professed Christians just as far from heaven's arrangement as he can. Therefore, he deceives even the professed people of God and makes them believe that order and discipline are enemies to spirituality, that the only safety for them is to let each pursue his own course, and to remain especially distinct from bodies of Christians who are united and are laboring to establish discipline and harmony of action. So Ezekiel 1 verse 9 through 14 describe the same type of activity. Angels work in harmony. Notice what it says. Their wings are joined one to another. They turn not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side, and the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So we can see quite an order in the ministry of the angels. They like to work together. They follow the direction of the Spirit, which is the mind of God, being directed by Him and His Son as the Lord of hosts. And they're in subjection and in discipline continually. God is a God of order. Everything connected with heaven is in perfect order. Subjection and thorough discipline mark the movements of the angelic host. Success can only attend order and harmonious action. God requires order and system in His work, now no less than in the days of Israel. All who are working for Him are to labor intelligently, not in a careless, haphazard manner. He would have His work done with faith and exactness, that He may place the seal of His approval upon it. A similar thing is described in Ezekiel chapter 10. We had read earlier from Ezekiel 1, but now notice verses 9 through 12 in chapter 10 of Ezekiel. And when I looked, behold the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. And their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and their wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. So the Bible has just described in Ezekiel chapter 10 the order of the angelic ministry, but it also describes that they have eyes round about. These angels are the eyes of the Lord, as described in Zechariah chapter 4 and other parts of the Bible. So angels go before us as we minister. Notice what it says about angels going before canvassers to prepare the way. Every canvasser has positive and constant need of angelic ministration, for he has an important work to do, a work that he cannot do in his own strength. Those who are born again, who are willing to be guided by the Holy Spirit, doing in Christ's way that which they can do, those who will work as if they could see the heavenly universe watching them, will be accompanied and instructed by holy angels, who will go before them to the dwellings of the people, preparing the way for them. Such help is far above all the advantages which expensive embellishments are supposed to be able to give. So we can see that similar principle in the story of Genesis 24, verse 40, and it says, "And he said unto me, The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way." So we can see that God sends angels with people, and even before them, to prepare the way, so that God can witness through us as we're ministering with and for him. Oh, that we could all recognize the nearness of heaven to earth. When the earthborn children know it not, they have angels of light as their companions. A silent witness guards every soul that lives, seeking to draw that soul to Christ. Those are angels. As long as there is hope, until men resist the Holy Spirit to their eternal ruin, they are guarded by heavenly intelligences, which are angels. Let us all bear in mind that in every assembly of the saints below are angels of God listening to the testimonies, the songs, and prayers. Let us remember that our praises are supplemented by the choirs of the angelic host above. So we can know that angels are constantly listening, watching, blessing, looking for opportunities to benefit us with the blessings of heaven. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, we should walk as children in the light. And remember, angels will bring light. We can see that in the story when Peter was in jail. Remember when the angel came and light shone about him. So the women who had been Christ's humble followers while they lived would not leave him until they saw him laid in the tomb and a stone of great weight placed before the door, lest his enemies should seek to obtain his body. But they need not have feared, for I saw that the angelic host watched with untold interest in the resting place of Jesus, earnestly waiting for the command to act their part in liberating the King of Glory from his prison house. From Early Writings, page 180. Notice this is a similar quote, so I'll read it. One of the angels laid hold of the great stone and rolled it away from the door of the sepulcher and seated himself upon it. The other entered the tomb and unbound the napkin from the head of Jesus. Then the angel from heaven, with a voice that caused the earth to quake, cried out, "Thou Son of God, thy Father calls thee, come forth." Death could hold dominion over him no longer. Jesus arose from the dead, a triumphant conqueror. In solemn awe, the angelic host gazed upon the scene. And as Jesus came forth from the sepulcher, those shining angels prostrated themselves to the earth in worship and hailed him with songs of victory and triumph. We don't read as much in Matthew chapter 28, but we do read the concepts here. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning or light, and his raiment was white as snow. As for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." So angels were able to not only minister the good in bringing Christ from the grave, they were able to instruct the women that had followed Christ. They were able to prostrate the Roman soldiers who were contrary to God's will. And they did all these things under the direction of God the Father, who is in heaven. No traces of his recent agony were visible as Jesus stepped forth to meet his betrayer. Standing in advance of his disciples, he said, "Whom seek ye?" This was just before the resurrection. They answered, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." As those words were spoken, the angel who had lately ministered to Jesus moved between him and the mob. So notice, the angel had moved between Christ and the mob. A divine light illuminated the Savior's face, and a dove-like form overshadowed him. In the presence of this divine glory, the murderous throng could not stand for a moment. They staggered back. Priests, elders, soldiers, and even Judas fell as dead men to the ground. Notice what the Bible says about that portion of the story in John 18, verses 3 and onward. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So we know that the story of Jesus saying, I am he, and those falling to the ground, according to Ellen White in the book The Desire of Ages, was an angel that came between Christ and the crowd. And so angels are powerful. Angels excel in strength, as the Bible teaches. And angels are very near to bless us with the heavenly influences they've been commanded to give. God sees fit to delegate angels to minister unto all who are in need of help. We know that when we do our part, these heavenly representatives of omnipotent power will be commissioned to help in this time of special need. I'm going to continue on in the same letter. Human agencies are called to be hand helpers, to work out the knowledge and use the faculties of heavenly angels. By uniting with these powers that are omnipotent, we shall be benefited by their higher education and experience. So notice as we continue on, this is heaven's way of administering saving power. So that's what I was mentioning earlier, is Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So angels are a blessing to mankind. Angels are what I want to be with me as I continue ministering and sharing and learning and studying and being blessed with a heavenly atmosphere. The agencies that God has commanded to bless us, may they always be near. May we ask God to continue to bless us, to keep us from evil angels, to bless us with good angels as we stick close to God's word. If we turn away from God's word, he will not send us the benefit of the blessed holy angels. We will have the surrounding of evil angels if we choose contrary to God's will. This is extremely important for our preparation for Christ's coming. And so my prayer for you is that you'll continue to go through these notes, you will learn more, and we will be able to study together to be blessed and to understand more about God's plan of redemption for us as his people.